Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
So, in the sermon series, we've been looking first at why we give, which Sarah delivered 2 weeks ago, while Ned talked about how we give last week, which leaves me with what we should give. If you haven't listened to the previous sermons, I'd encourage you to do so. They take a different and interesting look at concepts that we sometimes overlook when we talk about giving in the church. But anyway, what should we give? Everything. Right, I'm done. Short and sweet, but hey, no, we've got a few more pages yet. Actually, that is a fair summary of my message, but it's far more nuanced than that, and we need to look at the reading and some other Bible passages, including the passage of Luke, to learn what it is to give in God's love. In our passage, Paul talked to the Corinthians about their offering to the church in Jerusalem and the offering that the other churches he is with have given. He tells them that he is sending Titus and others to carry the offerings from the Macedonian churches to Corinth. These messengers have been chosen to carry the offering, as they are strong in faith and trusted by everyone. So the promised aid will be seen to have arrived and be received in the eyes of God, and also, importantly, in the eyes of men. Additionally, and perhaps to the chagrin of the Corinthian church, he is also sending someone who is well known to them. And not only that, someone who has spoken of their great generosity in their offerings that they have promised previously, last time Paul talked to them. Paul says to them that these messengers of his are there to witness the proof of the Corinthians' love and grace, and also the reason that Paul takes pride in them, so that all of the churches can see it too. Not only does Paul say he is sending his representatives to collect the promised offering, he also tells them that it was their enthusiasm to give that caused the Macedonians to give so generously as well. Their example has influenced others, and now their grace will mean that the offering is given in full. He comments that he is sure their generosity will not prove to be a hollow promise. That makes it sound like Paul is expecting some resistance to the giving of the offering that they promised. He wants them to give gratefully and gracefully, but perhaps he's not sure that they will. He sends them a reminder in the letter so that they can get everything in order and not embarrass Paul. He doesn't just say that they will be embarrassed if they fail to fulfill the promise, but that Paul himself will be embarrassed because of the confidence that he has spoken about to them with the other churches and the generosity that this has caused those churches to display. Paul sends his representatives as a reminder of a promise made, and to encourage them to give with grace and not grudgingly, as they might if he just turned up and held out his hand. We can assume that what is being given is transportable, and we know it's to help the impoverished church in Jerusalem. So is it money? Is it food? Is it other goods? We don't really know, but Paul wants them to be happy to give, and this is important. As Ned discussed last week, and as Paul notes at the end of the letter, we need to give willingly, not through force. But we also need to give sacrificially. If we give out of our profit, then is it really giving? We give more if we feel that the effect of the giving has on our lives. I'm sure we've all heard of the widow's mite or the widow's pence, depending on which translation you read. But in summary, Jesus sees a poor woman put a tiny coin in the offering bowl at the temple. He's sitting at the alcove near the bowl and sees what she does. It's a really embarrassing amount of money. It would be the equivalent of us giving a penny to a beggar on the streets of Sheffield. Effectively useless, even for buying a sandwich. You might look at what she gave and say it would be better if she'd given nothing. But Jesus says that she has given more than anyone else who has given in the temple today. As she has given everything that she had, while others have gave what they could afford. She has trusted God with everything, but they have kept back that which they need to live. Only she will go hungry tonight, but she is willing to trust in God to provide what she needs. So, Simon, what you're saying is we need to give money till it hurts. No, that's not what I'm saying. It is true that our church finances are in a somewhat depleted state at present, as you'll see at the APCM with the annual accounts. And this is as a result of various changes to income, but principally due to COVID curtailing offertory givings and parish centre bookings. It is good to reflect on what to give to the church, as money is required to fund our clergy, our buildings, and our mission in the community and the world. But money isn't the be-all and end-all. People should never feel pressured to give. We should give willingly or not at all. So money is important, but it isn't all that we can give. We can give anything to God. And as I said at the beginning, we can give everything to God. 1 Chronicles 29:14 says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Everything we have already belongs to God. We're merely stewards of it at present. So I have nothing other than what God has given me. Everything I have is his, and therefore everything can be given back generously. My time, my skills, my possessions, my prayers, and yes, my money can all be given to God. One of my favourite films is a children's film that we first watched when the boys were little. It's called Robots. And it's about a young robot who lives in a small rural town, who watched a TV program by an inventor when he was little. The inventor has a saying, "See a need, fill a need." And this generosity of spirit inspires that young robot. He tries to become an inventor himself. As you can probably imagine, it's a children's film, lots of great hilarity when his inventions go wrong. But when he's old enough, he goes to the big city in the hope of meeting his idol and to see if he can work for him. Unfortunately, when he gets to the city, he finds that his ideal dreams have been corrupted and he meets poverty and deprivation for the first time. So he applies his knowledge and passion and he sees much need around him, so he fills it. He repairs robots that have become broken. He makes sure that those around him are helped in any way that he can. And as a result, he makes the city a better place. Not everyone we meet needs money. We need to be prepared to give what people need. This church is very generous, and I've seen that on many occasions. We do give in the collection plate and via the parish giving scheme. When someone is ill or has just had a baby or a bereavement, we cook for each other to ease that burden. People give furniture. People help others to tidy their houses, to move home, and so forth. I encourage you to see a need and fill a need. Do it passionately and do it sacrificially. If you have time, then share it with others. If you have skills, then share them with others. And yes, if you have money, then share it with others and with the church. And if you have none of them, or if you feel that you can't give anything, then you can give prayer. And perhaps that's more important than anything else I've mentioned today. The Bible tells us that God gives you everything that you need. And we've heard in, and as we've heard in Luke, and as Paul noted in last week's reading when he quoted Exodus 6:18, it is so that he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. If you have spare, then share it with others. For as Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Come to the envelopes now, you can open them. Inside your envelope, why I took a sealed one is beyond me. Inside your envelope you'll find that there is an extract from the letter to Paul, from Paul to the Corinthians. Imagine Paul is writing directly to you. Put yourself in the place of a Corinthian recipient of that letter. What have you promised to God and have not yet given? Put others in the place of the church in Jerusalem in their need, be it this church, other Christian missions or charities that you support, or people that you know who are in need. How can you help them this week, this month, this year? The heart, there's also a little heart in there. Thank you, Michelle. A little heart in there. And the heart is there for you to reflect on what your help is. I'll read that again. The heart is there for you to reflect on where your help is required and to give a focus for what you'll give. Think of it perhaps as your response to God. Where are you promising to give from the bounty that God has provided you with? You could perhaps write a promise on the heart so that when the messengers from Paul come to collect, you remember what it was and give gracefully and gratefully to others who are in need. If you want to know more about how you can give to the church, we had our Vision Sunday document, which we are going through. But if you didn't fill one in, or if you have seen a need and want to fill a need, then please do talk to Ned, Michelle, or me, and we can talk it through with you. If you'd like to give regular financial contributions to the church, again, we're happy to discuss it with you. But most of all, I encourage you to give whatever you give with joy, in the knowledge that you're doing God's work.